No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is 6 times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by 5th Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to W-T-L, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
How are we feeling, Jabron?
Really good. It's one of the best weeks of the year.
My God.
Week 1 of college football. We got the Huskers coming back, but we got a lot of good matchups Thursday and Friday as well.
Tonight, we got a trio.
Yeah.
A trio of games all kicking off at 7 Central Standard Time. Let's start with the old Big 12 rival we used to have. I don't know if you can call them a rival.
Yeah.
We'd kick their butt in football. They would kick our butt in basketball.
Yeah, talking the old trade-off.
Talking about the old Jayhawks, for sure, with some Nebraska ties, though. Lance Leipold.
Yeah.
Doing really good things down there. Some polls have the Jayhawks ranked at 22nd in the nation. Others have them at 24th in the nation. That will be on ESPN+. And they're taking on the Lindenwood Lions.
Lindenwood Lions.
And there's a little bit of a stretch here.
Yeah.
Pretty big line. And
45.
Yeah, 45. And the over-under is right there at 58.5, I think, is the last I saw. Yeah, 58.5 is your total.
Yeah, like you said, and the reason for this huge discrepancy is the Jayhawks had a really nice season last year, 9-4. That's the reason they are slated at the 22nd. Ranking.
Yep.
And the Lions just finished with a 3-7 record, Andy.
Yeah, and the Jayhawks are also coming off a guaranteed rate bowl game victory.
Yeah.
I wish I could make fun of that, but I cannot.
We haven't been to a guaranteed bowl game in a long time.
We haven't been to a guaranteed rate bowl in 6 years. So.
Yeah. The thing with Kansas, they're returning 30 seniors, Andy, and
plenty
more experience from last year's squad.
Yeah.
I believe that this will be over by halftime, Andy.
Yeah.
Not only are the Jayhawks better, you know, in every facet of football, but Lindenwood has struggled against FCS squads since its transition from Division II just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The one thing to watch, if you're, you know, going to go look at Kansas, is how good is Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels looks, as he only played 3 games last year due to injury, and this ranking is kind of hindering on how well this guy's going to play. So this will be a fun one to just see if he can go out there and ball, how many touchdowns he has, and if that sits right with these Kansas fans in the Big 12.
You know, Lindenwood has one guarantee going on here. They are going to walk away with $360,000 Kansas has to pay them regardless.
Chump change, yeah, chump change.
Kind of is. Does feel like they're buying a victory there. But this spread is wacky.
Yeah.
44.5 is what the current line I'm looking at now. Do you actually feel that good? Because I don't. You're talking about the question marks at quarterback. It's a tune-up game. You want to put in different packages. You don't want to show your full hand. All those things. And it should be wrapped up by halftime. If that's the case, I don't know if
slow down a little bit.
Slow down. Take your foot off the gas. I like Lindenwood in this spot only because I do think it's going to be uncompetitive.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the exact same thing, Andy, is I like Kansas to score 45 points.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
But that's the line. That's the exact line. So if it goes 45-6, Lindenwood covers.
Right.
So, I do like Lindenwood in this spot. I believe this is too far out, strung out for this Kansas team.
Yes.
I know that they want this guy to come in and, you know, be flashy and, you know, be a little rendition of Shadur, but
Shadur.
I don't think it's going to happen. I do believe that they win big, but I'm not covering the 45. So
give me
Lindenwood in an early cover for them against the Big 12.
If you like the Lions
heading
on into Lawrence, Kansas, do you also like the under then?
I do. I just think it's a little too – I think it's too much for week one.
Yeah.
Kansas, even if they do score a lot of things, they're going to be trying a whole bunch of different things, trying to get some stuff going for next week and all that kind of stuff. So I don't believe that they're going to set out to score as many points as they can. 60 points is just pretty much a little too much for this game because it's not going to be close. They're going to be out of energy by halftime and saying this is in the bag. Who cares?
Right. And you don't want to get your quarterback who's coming off an injury put in harm's way on a game you already have in the bag. So why would you do that?
Get up by three touchdowns. Yeah. Play the next guy.
All right. Well, that's going to be on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the next?
Another ranked opponent.
SEC Network will be broadcasting the number 11th ranked Missouri Tigers. That's right. The Mizzou Tigers are back. Almost cracked the top 10, coming off a 10-win campaign last year. They also won their bowl game. They are a 46-point favorite over the Racers. Murray State Racers getting no respect here. You got another total with the hook. 57.5 is your total.
Is the total, Andy.
Yeah.
And, I think I'm going to kind of say what I did about that other one. My best bet is that under.
Really?
Just the first thing, the Missouri Tigers returned most of their pieces, just like Kansas, from an attack that averaged 32 points a game last season, including quarterback Brady Cook. Brady Cook completed 67% of his passes, 3,100 yards and 20 touchdowns. So this guy is very good. The thing that I'm looking at, Andy, when Mizzou faced small school opponents early last season, they didn't run up the score.
Mm.
South Dakota only 35-10, and only edging Middle Tennessee 23-19, Andy.
Yeah.
Cook just attempted 19 passes against the Blue Raiders while throwing just for 172 yards. So that shows you that they aren't in the business of running it up against these, you know.
This isn't your Pinkelman, you know, Big 12 Missouri Tigers where they could score 60 points. They would score 50 points. They know that they need to buckle up the chin strap and run the ball in the SEC, and that's what they're gearing towards.
Yeah.
They're also trying to shore up their defense right now. If there's a question mark heading into the season, it's that defense. And they brought in a guy, Corey Batune from South Alabama, to try and shore up that defense. But even on the defensive side, they're bringing back a lot of starters who are coming off a Cotton Bowl win from last season, an 11-2 record. So this isn't new territory for Missouri. I think people forget that they actually played in the SEC championship game just a few seasons ago.
No doubt about it.
So I kind of like that too, where they're probably not going to run up the score, and that under is your best bet. I really hate looking at point spread when it gets into that wacky 40, 37 points that you have to give up. Like, that's just, you're just sweating it the whole game.
Yeah, I think that plus 47.5 towards Murray State is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
I probably will sidestep this and just go the under as maybe a parlay piece later, you know, if I'm building one, you know, today at work or whatever. I would just say that I believe that under 57.5 is the way to go. I believe that's my best bet of these first three games that we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, should we move on to the one that's going to be on
one.
The national broadcast on the mothership.
Prime time.
No ESPN Plus, no SEC Network. This is the Colorado Buffaloes taking on the North Dakota State Bison. Not a buffalo.
It's
they're
not
bison.
A buffalo. It's
they're
a bison.
Okay, they're more pure. They're North American natives. There's no, you know, none of that funny business here. But the home team, the Buffs, are your 9.5-point favorite. So much is being made, like it always is, kind of by design, I think, with Dion, the coach. And I think that's leading people towards put money in on North Dakota State because they're tired of hearing the jabber.
Without no results.
And the way that Colorado finished the year last year didn't leave too many folks inspiring, especially the betting community.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. And then with North Dakota State on the other side, the Bison bring back a pair of experienced quarterbacks, Cam Miller, Cole Payton, who give the team fits in the run game, Andy. Yeah. Miller is the primary passer for NDSU, threw for 2,600 yards and 19 touchdowns in just 4 interceptions a year ago. He and Payton, who will line up all over the formation, each rush for at least 600 yards and 13 touchdowns apiece. These guys wreak havoc on defenses.
Shout out Omaha Westside High School, Cole Payton, still maybe the best quarterback I ever got to broadcast. That guy was a baller. Not surprised that he's having success at the next level and at this high of a level, North Dakota State. So I would not be surprised one bit if the Bison roll in there to Folsom Field and cover this 9.5. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, Andy, is that they're not coming to cover this, though. They're coming to win.
Exactly.
And that's the reason that I do think a cover is a really good bet here.
Yeah.
Just the way that North Dakota State's going to play this is they have a retooled offensive line, and they're going to be trying to run the ball the entire time, pound it away on the opposite side of Travis
Hunter. You mean something they do really well?
Exactly. Everybody knows what Colorado's doing. Yeah. They're trying to get Shadur into the NFL. Mm-hmm. Travis Hunter is probably the best defensive player in all of college football.
Pretty good.
What they're going to do is pound the ball away from the side that Travis Hunter's on and slow this game down.
Yeah.
They want to keep the ball out of Sanders' hands. So, Colorado has said that they have addressed this vulnerability against the run game in the transfer portal, but surrendering more than 176 yards on the ground each game last year.
They lost a lot in that portal, too.
Exactly. They have proved that they can limit the ground game. We will see if any of that comes to fruition.
Yep. What about this total at 60.5? If the Bison do try to slow this down, and we've seen them play defense against D1 opponents before.
Yeah.
I'm just going under on this slate of games here at 7 o'clock on Thursday.
I think it gets close, Andy. I really see this as the first to 30 wins this game. Mm-hmm. I have it 31-28 is who's going to win this game. So I really do believe North Dakota State is going to put some points on them, and I really expect this game to be a game well into the fourth quarter. So I think Shadur has enough talent and has enough pieces around him that they are going to win this game and put up big numbers. But I do believe that North Dakota State will cover this and maybe only lose this by 3 points.
You know, I got to share a kind of a wild stat that I noticed earlier in the week when I was, preparing for the show. Because I'll go to covers.com. I'll watch Wager Talk, VSiN. They put out good articles. They're pretty kind to DK, DraftKings, who's their main sponsor. But anyway, you got to kind of figure it out yourself. There's the horn, so we're up against it, but I got to get your take on this. At oddshark.com, love going there. If nothing else, it just has all the games laid out for me and the times and the place and everything.
Yeah.
They got an AI type of score predictor on there, and they got North Dakota State predicted to score 35.2 points.
Wow.
Colorado, just take a wild stab at this.
36.
15.8.
Whoa!
15. They got North Dakota State not only covering this, but winning. They got North Dakota State winning easily, covering easier, and the under.
Well, I hope that's the way that it goes, Andy, but I do not believe that is the way it's going to go. Shadur's going to be out there to score points, and I do believe that they will if they can get the ball. That's why I'm saying North Dakota State, keep the ball away from them as much as they can. And, if they get inside the red zone, they need to score.
Go Buffs, go Bison.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I can't wait to watch it.
I believe that as well. We're going to have to flip through 3 games all at once there, but this is college football. This is what it's all about. You heard the horn. That means we're up against it, but we got to take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. World-class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it.
And we got to continue this run of college football.
Yeah, for sure.
I will say this about conference realignment, NIL, all this craziness that's happening. We are getting a lot of great matchups early in the season.
Yeah, no doubt about
this.
It
looks
it's
like
a lot of fun.
Yep, there's some November football being played here in week one, and we're going to get to those games. But first, we got to get through the Thursday slate and then the Friday slate.
Yep.
And there's some pretty big point spreads that we're going to have to get to.
Yep.
And ranked teams.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma Sooners, I feel like they've just been tore apart.
Yeah.
You know, during the offseason, oh, they're going to struggle in the SEC. You know, Texas makes sense going there. Oklahoma doesn't, blah, blah, blah. They're ranked 16th in the nation.
Yeah.
And they're 42.5-point favorites over the Temple Owls on ESPN, kickoff at 6 p.m.
Yeah, Andy, I don't know if there's a lot to get excited about on the Owls. What I've read and what I've seen is that the offensive line should be a lot better, and they have got a lot of transfers that should make an instant impact for their team.
Okay.
I mean, at least they can't be worse than they were last year at a 3-9 record.
Well, they don't have E.J. Warner, their stud quarterback, who averaged over 307 yards per game last season.
Yeah.
He transferred to Rice.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I'm just saying from a record standpoint, they shouldn't be any worse. They only win in three games. But the defense should see a big jump in production. The linebacking core will just, you know, be...
Yeah.
It's supposed to be disruptive for them. But, like, fine. The big thing is... that I don't believe that this defense is going to be able to take the ball away from Oklahoma. And they'll probably need at least like six turnovers to be in this game, and that's just not going to happen.
No.
Oklahoma should be able to blast away on the ground early. The spotlight will be on QB Jackson Arnold, and he should just be fine. He won't have to take any major chances this game.
Mm-hmm.
Run, make easy throws, let the defense start to show why it's going to be a problem for the SEC this season.
Yeah, and Temple only went 1-7 in conference last year.
Yeah.
And they lost their most prolific player on offense, the quarterback I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma can cover this.
Yeah, no,
I know it's a lot of points, but I think they can cover
it. I don't think it's going to be 73-0 like it was for OU's season opener last year against Arkansas State, but the offense will be fantastic on the ground, ripping off yards and chunks by the second quarter, and I do believe that they get to around 60 points in this and cover this with these.
Yeah, 55-3, something like that is what I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, their running backs coach, DeMarco Murray,
is
serving a one-game suspension here.
Cheater.
Yes, the NCAA caught him cheating, texting recruits, possible recruits, during the dead zone. So, yeah, he can't be texting kids like that.
He must have learned that from Jim Harbaugh.
Right?
Yeah.
So, did they have a bunch of guys spies out on Temple last year?
But, no, I think Venables will
be fine.
Yeah, I think the running backs will be good this game without him. But, no, I do believe they cover it. And I like that. I like that over.
You do?
I really do. Because I do believe that Temple is going to be able to score at least 10 points, and that would put it over
58
for me for Oklahoma. And they might be able to get this line by themselves.
You know what? I'll go with that over, too. And here's why.
Yeah.
Just like I alluded to it, Oklahoma's gotten so much flack.
Yeah.
You know, and moving to the SEC and how they're not going to hang – they hang a lot of points on these non-conference.
They love to do it.
They put on a
show.
Like
I said, 73-0 in the home opener last year against Arkansas State. Yep. I believe that they probably won't try to one-up it, mm-hmm. but they still have to be in that realm to say, hey, we haven't lost a step.
Right.
We get it that this isn't the Big 12, but we're still the same team coming in the SEC. So I believe that over is a very good bet for the Oklahoma Sooners.
I do, too. The other Memorial Stadium, I'm looking at the over for Oklahoma to start things off
Let's
here.
Go. Boomer Sooner.
Boomers Sooner. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All righty. Let's move on then to another 6 o'clock kickoff on BTN. FAU, the Owls.
The Owls.
Taking on Michigan State. Sparty is your 2-touchdown favorite. This has been bet down. The total's recently been bet down to 45 even.
Yeah.
Once again, this is a 6 o'clock kickoff on BTN. This is a bounce back year, really, for both teams.
Yeah.
Really for both teams.
It really is, Andy. And I really like Michigan State in this position right now. They kind of got this closer spread than what we're seeing. Than what I think Michigan State should be on an opening weekend. The reason for that, Andy, they had a disaster season last year, responded by completely changing the roster and coaching staff.
A lot of coaching staff changes.
Jonathan Smith is in the building now. He brought in 61 new players with him, 24 which arrived from the transfer portal. 38 players from last year's team are out the door. Friday is the freshest start possible, which – you know, looks like a great thing for Michigan State.
Yeah. Old Sparty, not only did they, you know, a lot of times you'll trade coaches, you'll get rid of coaches. They got rid of players, brought new players in. They are the whole thing. And much can be said for not Temple, but Florida Atlantic here. They have a new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. Yeah. Tom Herman is in year two.
Yep.
He knows he has to get things done here. Oh, man. And Tom Herman's a really, really good coach. I believe in that guy.
It seems that way.
I mean, he had a couple good years there at Texas, right?
He did.
But that wasn't good enough. And
that
now
was
he's
Texas.
And now things are a little different at Florida Atlantic. I'm seeing a lot of predictions out there with the Owls hanging around within like 10 or so with the spread at 14.
Yeah.
Is that 4 points I can play with and feel good with?
I don't, Andy.
You don't think
love
so?
Michigan State. On paper, Michigan State roster has the edge, especially in the trenches where the game is going to be decided. That's nothing.
New faces, though.
But nothing on home field advantage here, Andy, as Spartan Stadium will be loud on Friday night. The Owls have too many new pieces offensively to trust against a program with a massive recruiting advantage, Andy.
Sure.
FSU's offense had enough issues last year, finishing ninth in scoring and 11th among the American Conference, Andy.
Well, Michigan State couldn't score either.
Yeah, but they're in the Big 10 conference, Andy.
Yeah.
Things won't immediately click in East Lansing for Florida Atlantic. Spartans have the ball. They have, they'll be going against a much smaller FAU defensive line. Michigan State's plan of attack will simply outmatch them physically, and they're going to be able to do that. They're winning this by more than 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
This 13.5 is a lock.
Wow. And I think it is. I'm looking at a couple lines coming in now at square 14.
Yeah.
And that total is getting bet down, and this kind of goes against what you're saying as well. So you like the over here.
You
can get it at 45?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that so much, just because I don't think that FAU is going to push them to score a whole bunch of points. I believe that Michigan State can get to 28 points and still cover this spread.
Okay.
That's the way that I feel the game is going to go out. They're going to just beat them up physically, and FAU ain't going to have an answer for it.
Well, it's been leaked that there's going to be some fancy uniforms for the home team. So old Spartans are getting pretty jacked up about these new uniforms or retro uniforms.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Sometimes all that hoopla and jazz can work against you where you lose sight of the game. But you think Florida Atlantic has fallen off so much so, or there's such a big discrepancy there where Michigan State's going to cover the 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And maybe not hit that over. Stay away from
the
over.
It could. That over is definitely a play if you're on it. I'm not against you on it. I'm just saying I love the 13.5 to 14 for Michigan State.
Okay.
I will probably sidestep the over. But if I had to lean away, Andy, it would be on the over.
On the over.
It would be.
All righty. Well, should we move on to the nightcap?
Let's do it.
8 o'clock kickoff on FAU. FSS1 Whiskey. The Wisconsin Badgers are playing host to Western Michigan Broncos. Western Michigan just seems like they play all those Big Ten teams every year, all the time.
At least once.
Collect their check, knock one off here and there.
Yeah.
You know, but the row the boat days are long and gone. Wisconsin, for all the struggles they had last year, and they had some struggles, they are your 23.5-point favorite. That total is fading now down to 56.5.
Yeah, no, they really think that Luke Fickell is going to try and, you know, leave an imprint on this. Obviously, disappointing first season for Fickell in 2023.
Yeah, 7-6 overall.
Yeah, but what everybody hopes, or what Wisconsin Badger fans hope, that the arrival of former Miami quarterback Tyler Van Dyke
can
bring credibility to this Badger passing attack and get the team back in the mix for a Big Ten title. So that is Luke Fickell's outlook on the season.
Sure.
They got the new shiny quarterback, and I really do believe that they are going to put it on Western Michigan just to prove a point that this is the guy, this is how we're doing it this year, and it's going to be a lot of down-the-field attacking for the Wisconsin Badgers.
And this isn't the Western Michigan that you remember. They went 4-8 last year, 3-5 in conference play in the MAC. They're just there to get roughed up, you know, and they're going to want to save bodies and not get people injured. So if they can just have, you know, keep the ball in front of them, let Wisconsin just do their ground-and-pound game, get out in front. For that reason alone, some people are looking at this under. But we've seen it firsthand. Even if Wisconsin does keep the ball on the ground, that could be really bad news.
Oh, no doubt.
For your defense and the scoreboard getting lit up.
Yeah, the Badgers should be able to run the ball all over Western Michigan as well, Andy.
Yeah,
defense. They were ranked just 94th in the country against the run at the end of last season. And while they are athletic, they often rely on their secondary to come up and stop the run, which is not going to be very easy against Wisconsin running backs and the Wisconsin offensive line. Yeah. So, no, I believe Wisconsin is going to cover this by a wide margin. And you know they're probably going to crack into that over. I do believe that Wisconsin is going to try to score as many points as possible. Luke Fickell, air raid offense, brand new shiny toy with Van Dyke and all that running back. If they could bust off 65, 70-yard runs when they're not even trying to in the third and fourth quarter, Andy, which is going to up. So I believe Fickell, air raid offense, goes over. Wisconsin covers easily.
You heard the horn there, so you like the -115. I'm seeing it a lot, that under the, you know, the point spread at 23.5.
For sure.
It's hard to argue that just when you start looking at the problems that Western Michigan, the Broncos, have, that pales in comparison to what the Badgers are dealing with. And, Luke, this is a perfect spot for Luke Fickell to use those offensive toys. Knock the rust off, get him rolling.
And get Van Dyke into a rhythm before they hit Big Ten play.
Yep, jump around, Cap Randall, all that stuff. Yeah, I think so. So you heard the horn, that means we're up against it, but let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, or hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm here with Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it.
And I think we just got to stay right on track here.
Yeah.
It is college football. It is week one. Now we're getting into some Saturday matchups.
We made it to Saturday.
Some top 25 teams squaring off here. This is what we signed up for.
It is.
ABC, 11 o'clock kickoff. Number one team in the land.
Yeah.
A lot of people expect them to repeat. I mean, that's a nice little expectation.
For sure.
You just win the national championship.
You win the national championship.
Yeah. Georgia Bulldogs are your 13.5-point favorite over your Clemson Tigers. And I feel like the Tigers are much like some other teams like Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, where they're just catching so much flack during the offseason. Okay, but no one can argue they're one of the most talented teams in the nation. And oh, by the way, they're ranked 14th in the nation.
Yeah.
They have an elite defensive line, linebackers. I don't know. Just on the surface alone, I kind of like the Tigers. Maybe not to win in this spot, but tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, Andy, I was going to say the exact same thing, despite a negative overall narrative about the Clemson Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
These two teams remain, I think, two of the top 10 most talented teams in the country.
Right.
Because of just what you said. Yes, there are way more concerns about Clemson than Georgia, mm-hmm. but the Tigers have the most, they have talent to stay in this game, Andy.
Right.
And we saw it 3 years ago when these two teams opened the season at 10-7 rock fight.
And now it's back and forth. Yeah.
Now it's at Georgia. Clemson will cover here if Cade Klubnik doesn't turn the ball over for Clemson.
You know, and that's easier said than done. I get it. It's
for
a big
sure.
if. It's week one. But, you know, if your offense makes mistakes, well, then turn it over to your elite defense and have them turn over Georgia. It's not like Georgia's not going to have, you know, some early season woes.
Yeah,
growing pains, all those things. You know, and then I'll just say it. I like Clemson to cover this 2-touchdown spread.
No doubt.
Ask Florida State about that.
Yeah, Florida State.
Yeah, yeah.
As we called that last week.
We did. We got to get into some hits and misses because I was like, oh, we're on a heater here.
Yes,
we're doing
we
good.
We didn't call them to lose, but we definitely knew that they were going to.
Both on Georgia Tech.
That spread was too much.
Yep.
That spread was too much.
But, the same here. I feel the same here.
Exactly. Clemson's front seven is elite, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
It has an excellent secondary and has enough talent on offense to manufacture some points. Do they lose by a touchdown? Correct. Georgia still wins this game. They win by a touchdown, probably 28-21, something like that.
How has this line been moving? Because I just assumed that this line was going to be around 8.5.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe,
at most 10.
Yeah,
at
maybe.
At most 10.
And maybe some big money comes in and gets bet down to 7.5, and now we're talking here. Can Georgia win by more than a touchdown? This 2 touchdowns, 14, 13.5, no way. Give me the Tigers.
Give me the Tigers. I think just a lot of people think that Georgia's going to get rolling early and not stop and, you know, blow these guys out. I just believe Clemson's a better team than that. They have more talent than that. They keep this within a touchdown, I believe. Tigers cover.
The total is getting bet up here recently. Now it's all the way up to 48.5. You got the hook. Where are you leaning?
Yeah, I would lean on the under here, Andy, but it's right there. Like I said, 28-21 kind of puts it right over that, but I don't know if that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it didn't happen
3 years ago.
No, and that's kind of what I'm kind of putting my hat. I probably will sidestep this and just put all my money on the Tigers to cover.
Sure.
But
yep.
if I had
I like
to guess, it will go under.
Yeah, that's how I kind of measure that one up, too. All right, should we move on over to another 11 o'clock kickoff?
Let's do it.
On Fox.
Yes.
Another national broadcast. The number 8 ranked Penn State Nittany Lions are heading on over to West Virginia to take on the Mountaineers, where the Mountaineers find themselves as an 8.5-point home dog.
Yeah. This is another one I really don't like for the visiting team coming in here, Andy. This is a challenging opener for Penn State. The Mountaineers quietly went 5-1 at home last season with their only loss coming to Okie State. West Virginia also returns almost their entire offense, including, I think, an underappreciated quarterback, Garrett Green. There are some questions about Penn State, too, particularly in wide receiver, that make wonder if they really have what it takes to blow this team out. So I'll take Penn State on the money line, but I like West Virginia to keep this close, especially at home.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of curious to me that Penn State didn't schedule that home game first to get things started.
It's like a Nebraska or something.
I got it right this year, though.
Yep.
And for that alone, you know, you can't just roll into a Big 12, SEC, whatever West Virginia is now, whatever conference, Big 12. But that's still big boy football.
Yeah, it is.
And you're not just going to go in there and win by, you know, more than 2 scores. And that's exactly where this line has it. And for that, you know, that's why I said it like that. Here we go. Right out of the gate, we have a home dog nearing double digits.
Yeah.
Give me West Virginia.
Exactly.
Give me the home
team. Mountaineers are going to hang in this game no matter what. Green's a dynamic threat, especially on third down with his feet, Andy. So the Nittany Lions will have to tackle well on the road. This will be a It's a great matchup for James Franklin's team. Just
should be an entertaining
game. This is going to mark a quality win for them, you know, down the road, especially because I believe West Virginia will be vying for a spot at the top of the Big 12 conference. So this will mark a quality win for Penn State, even if they just hit that money line. So I believe that's what's going to happen. But this West Virginia team is no joke. Penn State is not going to blow them out. Yeah. They're going to get them late if they get them at all.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. Like, who's left in the Big 12? I mean, West Virginia is unranked in the preseason, and they're expected to be battling for that Big 12 championship. Meanwhile, you have eighth ranked in the nation, Penn State, coming in. You know, so I guess it makes sense that they're, that they're over a touchdown. What about that total? 51.5. I know West Virginia back in their heyday, boy, they put up some points.
Yeah.
51.5, though.
I think it goes over, Andy.
Really?
I really do.
It's getting bet up.
Yeah, I think Penn State hits that 30 mark, and I believe West Virginia's going to be right behind them. So I believe the over is the play.
Okay, should we move on to another 11 o'clock kickoff?
Let's do it. Let's go to a game where there won't be any points scored.
Well, that's not what the total says.
Not if Kate has anything to do about it.
Well, we're throwing some shade at our friendly neighbors over there in Iowa. 25th ranked Hawkeyes are your 22.5 point favorite over the Redbirds of Illinois State. That's right. They're not the Cardinals. They're the Redbirds. Get it right.
Yeah, Andy, 22.5, is that what you said?
Yes.
Did Iowa score 22 points last year?
Oh, it's tough. Yeah, I mean, we can just keep piling on.
I will, because I really do not like that yellow and black team across the river there. But I believe Illinois State keeps this within reach here, Andy, because...
Really?
I don't think that Iowa's going to be able to score that many points. I believe that they are going to score 14 points and win this 14-0. I believe that is the final score of this game.
You know, the Redbirds only went 6-5 last year.
Yep.
Finished eighth in the Missouri Valley Conference. They lost their quarterback. They did bring in a transfer from Kansas State, a lot hanging on Jake Rubley. There. He has strong arm, all that stuff. But this is another team that's coming in to lose a game.
Yeah.
They're a sacrificial lamb, probably get raking in a little bit of money here. But I do agree with your point. Until I see Iowa's offense put up points, how can I predict that they're going to beat a team by over three touchdowns?
Exactly. And it's still Iowa. And without Ferentz in the mix, it's not like the offense and team will do anything out of character.
Yeah, without
Illinois State
Brian's
has a good enough pass rush to be a bother throughout the game, and any sort of pressure should shut down the Hawkeyes' plans to score a whole bunch of touchdowns. I touched on Cade McNamara a little earlier. I do believe he's going to be solid on third down and keep the ball moving a little bit, but he's not going to wing the ball around, Andy. He's not going to be scoring a lot of points.
Right.
He's going to be solid. He's not going to turn the ball over,
and
he's going to be good on third down. The defense will still
that's
be
what
great.
It's supposed to be.
They're going to score their two touchdowns or 17 points and not cover this spread.
You know, I believe Kurt Ferentz is the most tenured coach in the Big Ten now. He's been there for like 54 years or something like that at the head coach at Iowa. On the other side of this, Illinois State.
But he's serving one game suspension. He's not there.
He's not there.
He's not there.
And that's right.
For some silly recruiting violations.
Yeah, so that silly recruiting violation, trying to use the portal, and then he got snagged.
It's all systems go for co-defensive coordinator Seth Wallace
and
taking over this.
His son's not going to be there either. They had to show him the door.
Nope.
But on the other side of that, Brock Spak is a this is his 15th year as head coach of Illinois State. So there is some continuity, some consistency there. And Illinois State's played plenty of Big Ten teams over the years here. So I like his overall record of 101-70. That's a tough place to coach and play, and especially when you have to start each season basically with two or three losses when you have to take on Iowa. But you collect the check. That's what's on the line here. You don't think Iowa's going to do some of that win one for the Gipper? Because I think a lot of folks are kind of ticked off, especially Ferentz himself, saying, I tried to use the portal, and boy, did I goof that
up. Yeah, I tried to do it. It's silly. I don't believe that he should have got a one-game suspension either. Yeah, I'm laughing that it did happen.
It is pretty ridiculous.
But, no, they might want to do that for him. I just don't believe that they have the means to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't like I would take the under in this game as well, Andy.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see here. Just got bet down. I'm looking at a lot of lines at 40.5.
40 and a half.
You're seeing 40 out there?
Yeah, 40's out there.
It's getting bet down as we speak.
That's a long ways from 14 where I believe it ends up.
Oh, man. So you're thinking this is going to be more like a 14-6 type of
14
game?
14-0.
14-0.
This is going to be the most boring game of the weekend.
You know, when you're talking Iowa, that makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah. I'm not
or
trying
9-0.
I'm not.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be mean here. I am
trying to be mean.
I do.
But I'm trying to be truthful as well.
Yeah, I do think Illinois State can cover this. I really do. And if I think Illinois State can cover this, the under probably makes the most sense too.
Yeah, if you think Illinois State can score any points at all, 3-7, whatever, they should be covering. That's the way that I look at this game.
Well, you heard the horn. That means we're up against it. But we got to mention one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the Eos. That's that Hefeweizen beer, one of my favorites on their core series. What do you got going on over there?
I got the Taco Vesa. Always, the best beer that they brew, and it is very refreshing.
It is a refreshing Mexican-style lager. I love that one, too. So you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with NBC Nebraska Brewing Company. World-class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for? Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The parlay pounder.
You got it. We're back for the final segment.
Having a little fun because I am jacked.
Yes.
We've been talking college football all the way, and now we're getting into some games that actually matter.
Yes, sir.
We're getting into some top 10 matchups. As I mentioned, we're seeing a lot of great matchups early in the season now.
If there's
one thing that's a positive fallout of conference realignment, all the that stuff, this is it.
This is it.
They're seeing some of these great games.
Really good early games.
And then, of course, we're going to talk about the Huskers.
The Big Red.
So much coming out of Memorial Stadium. You love to hear it. That hype machine is rolling. It is full steam ahead.
Yeah.
So we're going to leave some time for the old Big Red here as well.
For sure. Got to.
But we got to start with somewhere in South Florida here, where we have the Miami Hurricanes taking on the Florida Gators, where Miami is going on the road. Not going to have to travel too far, just to Jacksonville there. But they find themselves a 2.5-point favorite on the road. This is a 2:30 kickoff on ABC. That total has recently been bet down to 54 square.
Yeah, Andy, and this is going to be a really good game. I cannot wait to watch this one. Miami versus Florida kind of seems just like something out of the 90s that you really would like to see.
Yeah, I feel like it's a toss-up kind of.
It really
is. It's 2.5, but...
Yeah, when deciding a spread like this, Andy, it comes down to whether or not I can trust the quarterback to lead their team in clutch drives at the end of the game, which I believe is going to happen at this.
So you like Miami?
I love Miami. Threw for 48 touchdowns and scored another 13 with his legs in his two seasons at Washington State. I believe he's the better quarterback over Graham Moretz. I love Miami to cover in this one, and I love the over as well.
Yeah, I really like that over. If I'm looking at both these teams scoring around 28 points, 24 points, that's going to get me to that over. And for all the things that you just mentioned there, the Hurricanes seem to be the play. I know Florida's out of the SEC, and I know that they're better than their record and all that jazz. Okay, I agree. It just means more. Okay, I agree with you guys. But I just think Miami's a more talented team and a better team, and they can get this by 2.5.
Yeah, exactly, Andy. And just one more point that I have. Florida's defense, it just seems like it isn't very good. Mm-hmm. And Miami Canes have three outstanding targets at Ward's disposal that are going to run up this score for Miami. I love Miami in this spot, and they just have too many offensive weapons for Florida to shut down.
They're going to blow, and they're like a A storm? Like a
tornado?
Tornado thing from a... Oh, maybe like a hurricane. I had to do it. It was just there. All righty. Let's move on to another top 25 matchup. Yeah. This one's going to... This has all the lights, all the typical narratives.
ABC primetime.
Ooh, a 6:30 kickoff on ABC. Your seventh-ranked Notre Dame Golden Domers are heading down to Aggieville to take on the Texas A&M Aggies. Where, you know, Texas A&M is ranked 20th in the nation, Notre Dame's ranked 7th, but it's Texas A&M that's your 3-point favorite. Yeah. Does that add up? I don't know.
I think it does, Andy. They're at home in the SEC. Notre Dame is, you know...
Overranked? Overranked?
Probably. Yeah. But they're disappointed with their injury news in the preseason, but they should be very, very good this year. This should be one of the best games of the year so far. I just don't like them to go into Texas A&M and win week one, especially with a team that has such a great home field advantage and has a lot of talent on their side as well.
Yeah. Riley Leonard is kind of your signature guy coming off two ankle surgeries. And that's Notre Dame's transfer quarterback coming in. He's supposed to be, you know, kind of the savior. And Notre Dame, they've been able to do that fairly well, bring in a transfer quarterback and get it done. But this might be a different animal. You're going on the road down into, you know, Texas, like you mentioned, A&M, SEC, all those things, and you're trying to work in a quarterback coming off two ankle surgeries?
No.
That's a tough spot.
I really do, Andy, and I believe this is going to be a very physical game, a lower scoring game, and I just think Texas A&M has a huge advantage with this game being home. The crowd will make things difficult for Leonard in the offense, which I think is too much to overcome. Take Texas A&M to get the win at home.
All right, Elko, Coach Mike Elko, get after that quarterback and get me that cover. I'm going to go A&M as well.
Let's go!
Yeah, let's pile it on.
Pile it on.
All right, let's talk about the game that, you know, that has a lot of national, you know, eyeballs on it that people are really looking to here.
My eyeballs.
Of course, this is a 2:30 kickoff on Fox. Nebraska's playing host to UTEP. The Miners out of El Paso.
Yeah.
Nebraska, this line just keeps getting wider and wider. It's been bet up to 27.5. The Cornhuskers are your favorites.
This is the first game of the rest of Nebraska's life, Andy.
All right.
This is the first game of the rest of our
lives. That sounds really important.
Yeah, it's all about let's go Dylan Raiola.
Yeah.
It's our freshman quarterback coming in.
Okay.
He got named the starter this week.
All right.
All that's expected out of the freshman is to be all everything quarterback, win national championships, be the Heisman, all that. That's all that's riding on his shoulders.
But that's it.
I think Nebraska's offense should be far better behind an improved line that should give Raiola and company time to work. And even if it's, you know, has a bunch of struggles like it did in the first couple games last year, I think it has a defense that's going to pick up the slack for us. UTEP offense should be far better, but it's going to take a little bit to get going against our defense. The Huskers' front three should be a wall against UTEP's
ground game.
And our deep linebacking core should manage against those mid-range throws. So I believe that Raiola gets it going, has some fun. UTEP will be fun, and everyone will see what's coming. I think they'll have some energy right there at the start, but Nebraska's crowd will come through in a strong performance. I believe we get this cover. I believe
we get 40 points
in this game. They muster up a 13.
Jabron.
Yep. Yeah.
We're talking about this home field advantage for Nebraska. You realized last year they went 1-5 against the spread at home.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1-5 against the spread at
home. Without a quarterback.
Now, that's actually that's a curious thing you mentioned there.
Yeah.
Because Harburg started majority of the games, right? Yep. And he was dinged up. Okay, he was hurt
for sure.
But he was limited.
So what happens to running backs?
It is. Yeah. Very good point. Where I'm going with this is there's two things happening. First off, everybody is saying, including offensive coordinators, head coach, they're going to figure out a way to work Harburg into the game.
Great.
H-back, tight end, whatever. And
we
saw that against Minnesota in game one last year.
Yes.
They used him a couple of swing passes, right? I would love to – and we're not in a position. Nebraska is not in a position where they can afford to have some of their most talented guys on the sideline.
For sure not.
You got to get them all on the field.
Yep.
Reminds me of Bill Snyder with Kansas State. He would always figure out a way to get his best players, you know, regardless of position, defense, offense, he would get the most talented guys on the field.
No doubt.
He wasn't that deep. Nebraska, if you want to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself, we're in a spot. You got to get that guy on the field.
I think you're right. I think that he will see some playing time, obviously. Uh-huh. I don't foresee him getting any snaps at quarterback, but I do believe.
Ooh, I do.
I don't, unless it's going to be on
garbage time, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I guess in this game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that you're talking like over Raiola.
No.
I just don't. I don't see how UTEP keeps it close here. Brand new coaching staff. They think they're going to come in here with that up-tempo offense. Those early runs on first and second down are going to be stopped by us, and then they're going to be in bad situations all day. Well, I just believe we can run it up on these guys.
For the Miners, UTEP Miners' sake, I really hope that their coaching staff does a better job of scouting than some of their sports writers, because I like to, like I said, I like to get information from all over the place. I won't call this publication out, but they're doing a quarterback comparison, and they have Harburg
as the starter.
It's like, oh, you're not going to see that. And I think the coaching staff knows that. And we got a little bit of an insider, right? Jake Bartecki, friend of the show, program, does a lot of NASCAR work for us. He's been at a few of these practices that have been open to the media.
Yep.
He's been to all the pressers during this fall camp. And he's like, I can't deny it. Raiola is the truth. He makes some throws. He makes really tough throws look easy. It's pure. It doesn't look like he's working too hard. Great throwing motion, but he's still a youngster.
Yeah.
And I do feel that this is a spot where they're going to make him feel comfortable. They're going to give him, they're going to let him feel some success.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, I could see them keeping him in there a few drives, longer into the game. And also, you're winning by 24 points, so be it. I want Dylan Raiola to complete four more passes and feel good about himself.
And get these youngsters on the offense. You know, in
his receivers, find a running back,
running back, tight ends, all of it. We need everybody clicking as the Colorado Buffaloes come into town next week. We need to be in the mindset that we can score a lot of points, because that is what Colorado is going to try to do with us. They're going to try and push us to the limit with as many points as we can do. I believe Dylan Raiola is going to take this right now and dump a bunch of points on UTEP and show them that we can do this.
Nebraska, through all their woes over the last 5 years, 10 years, the last couple of seasons, they have been 5-0 straight up against Conference USA.
Yeah. So
I like that, right?
You gotta love that.
So even if you're not big on the 28-27.5 total, you can still get in on that money line. Just won't get as good odds. Let's move on over to that total then, 51.5.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's been bet down. I'm looking at 49.5. So this line is moving south.
Yeah, 49.5, Andy. That is right at my line. I believe Nebraska wins this 40-10. So I guess I would have to lean with the over, because I do believe we might etch a little bit more than that, but that is my final score prediction: Nebraska 40, UTEP 10.
Okay, so then that gets you there by a half point.
It gets me by a half point.
Oh man, I don't know. You're putting so much on a true freshman quarterback. You don't have any pause. It's the spin machine. It's the hype machine.
Yeah.
And, you know, for years we've been saying if you don't have a true starter at running back, that means you have no running backs.
Yeah.
Here we are again where, it's four guys and they're all neck and neck. Well, okay, if we're going back to the heyday, that's something you didn't want to hear.
Yeah. The thing that I'm hanging my hat on, Andy, is that for the past whatever, like you said, 5-10 years or whatever, I don't believe we've had a true starting quarterback. It's always been kind of up in the air about who's the starter. Should this guy be starting? Is the backup better? Mm-hmm. I believe that we have solidified that. We're going to, and we're just going to move into that. I like that we have four guys that can run the ball.
Yeah.
Obviously, somebody's going to break out and be that number one option. Everybody's so crazy about this right now that we don't have a starting running back. Who's the starting running back? One of these guys will start busting these runs and be the solidified number one starter in one of these first two games.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear, folks. I'm going with Jabron, and Nebraska gets the cover.
Yeah.
27.5. Smack that over. Let's go.
Go Big Red. Go Dylan Raiola.
Well, that'll about do it for us this week, folks. Be sure to follow us on ESPN, Tri-City Radio, and their Facebook page. We're going to be rolling out some fun short videos, maybe some other content there. And we're also over on Twitter. And if you haven't already, get on board. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll have feature-length videos, short short videos, pics. We also have some interactive games on the community tab as well. Jabron, you got the TikTok,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the handle is at WTL Sports Betting. Make sure you look for us, WTL. We will have picks on upcoming games all weekend long.
Let's go. For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.